Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons, Text 45. Na shrota nanu vaktayam mukho muk yop yatra mahan maasu yastvi hendriyaya van atma sachanyak prana dehayo Na, not, Shrota, the listener, na, not, Anuvakta, the speaker, I am this, Mukya, chief, Api, although, Atra, in this body, Mahan, the great, Asu, life era, Ya, Ihu, to, but, Iha, in this body, Indriyavan, possessing all the sense organs, Atma, the soul, Sa, he, Cha, and, Anya, different, prana dehayo, from the life air and the material body. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the body, the most important substance is the life air, but that also is neither the listener nor the speaker. Beyond even the life air, the soul also can do nothing. But the super soul is actually the director in cooperation with the individual soul. The super soul conducting the activities of the body is different from the body and living force. Prabhupada, the Supreme Personality of Godhead distinctly says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Savasya chaham ridhi sanavishto matak smritir jnanam apavanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Although the Atma, or soul, is present in every material body, Deinosmin yata dehe, he is not actually the chief person acting through the senses, mind, and so on. The soul can merely act in cooperation with the super soul because it is the super soul who gives him directions to act or to not to act. Atak smritira jnana aponam cha. One cannot act without his sanction, for the super soul's upadrasta and anumanta, the witness and sanctioner. One who studies carefully under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master can understand the real knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually the conductor of all the activities of the individual soul, and the controller of the results as well. Although the individual soul possesses the indras or senses, he is not actually the proprietor, for the proprietor is the super soul. Consequently, the super soul is called Rishikesha, and the individual soul is advised by the direction of the super soul to surrender to him and thus be happy. Sarva dharman prityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. Thus he can become immortal and be transferred to the spiritual kingdom, where he will achieve the highest success of an eternal blissful life of knowledge. In conclusion, the individual soul is different from the body, senses, living force, and the airs within the body. And above him is the super soul, who gives the individual soul all facilities. The individual soul, who renders everything to the super soul, lives very happily within the body. The shrota nanu vaktayam mukyop yatra mahasu yas tui hendriyavan atma nachanyak prana dehayo. In the body, the most important substance is the life air, but that also is neither the listener nor the speaker. beyond even the life air, the soul also can do nothing. For the super soul is actually the director in cooperation with the individual soul. The super soul conducting the activities of the body is different from the body and living force. This is called Sankhya philosophy. Sankhya philosophy is so we can define what our roles are. If we don't define what our roles are, we won't know what our goals are. If we don't know what our goals are, we won't know what to do. Or we'll do something, but it may not be correct. Only when one has intelligence in the mode of goodness, as it says, Praritim Cha Navritim Cha, Karya Karya Vayabhaye, Vandam Yoga, Vandam Moha Ishtriyaveti, Buddhisaparta Sattviki. When one knows Praritim, what is to be done, and Nivritti, what is not to be done. Karya Karya Vayabhaye. And Karya means actually a similar thing. Praritim means what is restricted and what is not restricted. Nivritti. Oh, Praritim is what's not restricted. Nivritti is what's restricted. And then we have Karya Karya. What is to be done and what is not to be done? Vaya Abhayam. What is to be feared and what is not to be feared? Such a knowledge is said to be knowledge in the mode of goodness. Pravritim cha, navritim cha, karya karya vayavaye, bandham moksham chayaveti, what is binding and what is liberating. Buddhisaparta sattviki. Now, if we don't know who we are, we won't know what's to be done, what's not to be done. We won't know what's binding and what's liberating. We won't know what's to be feared and what's not to be feared. And therefore, we won't be able to know what to do and what not to do. Now in the mode of passion, what is the mode of passion? What's the first word? Something about sometimes you get it right and sometimes you get it wrong. You have some knowledge, but it's imperfect. Yaya dharmam adharmam cha, karyam cha karyam eva cha, atatavat prajanati buddhisaparta rajasi. O Sataprita, that understanding which cannot distinguish between religion and irreligion, between action that should be done and action that should not be done, is in the mode of passion. So here the word used is dharma. Dharma is actually means we should know who we are, what our essence is, what we're meant for, what we're supposed to be doing. Just like sugar is meant to sweeten things. Salt is meant to make things salty. If you add salt to sweet rice, it's not sweet rice anymore, it's salty rice. Abbas. Pai abbas. That's called instead of rasa, you have something which is not rasa anymore. Ras abbas. Similarly, if we don't know who we are, what we're supposed to be doing, our activities are ras abbas. Instead of actually having rasa, pleasure, we simply get pain or a combination of pain and so-called material pleasure. Therefore, we have to know who to come in contact with, who to, we could say, channel. Everyone is channeling something. If we're not channeling Krishna, then we're channeling Maya. And if we're partially channeling Krishna, then we're also partially channeling Maya. So we have to find out how to channel Krishna, how to turn on to channel Krishna. If we're not channeling Krishna outside, then we're watching Maya inside. There's a television in our heart. We can turn on to any channel we want. And many people are offering their station for us to turn onto. You can go on the internet and you'll channel that internet right into your heart. If you want to turn on the television, whatever program it is, will channel right into your heart. And you'll become a via media for that channel. Not only the people, whatever they're doing, but the very mechanism that you're using will actually enter into your heart and cause you to channel that particular mode of nature. Just like nowadays, children are playing video games. Not only children, everyone's playing a video game. Not everyone. Hopefully we're not playing the video games. But many people are playing video games. And then, in their actual life, then they channel that video game. We find that the military often, they think war is just another video game. And that they're killing virtual people when they shoot them from helicopters. Because they become insensitized. Similarly, when people are playing video games all day long and they see someone, they think, well, maybe he's a target. Because that's what they're channeling, and that's where their consciousness winds up. There are video games made by people in the mode of ignorance, generally speaking, and they channel the mode of ignorance, and people will become absorbed in the mode of ignorance, and then they'll act in the mode of ignorance. On the other hand, if we come in contact with someone who can bring us in contact with the super soul and his desires, then we'll channel the transcendental existence. And if we can channel the transcendental existence, then as we become qualified, we'll also be able to experience the transcendental existence outside and inside of our hearts. Therefore, we're saying that Lord Nishikadev, he's outside, he's inside. He's not only on the altar, but he's also supposed to be in our heart. Wherever we go, we're supposed to be with Lord Nishikadev. Not only he's on the altar and we leave, bye-bye Nishikadev. We'll see you tomorrow. No, wherever we go, yato, yami, to Nishingo. Wherever we're going, we're supposed to carry Nishikadev with us. He's within us, he's without us. He's within my heart, he's outside my heart. Therefore, sharanam. Therefore, we surrender ourselves to Lord Nishikadev. Now that I've surrendered myself to Lord Nishikadev, and we'll see you tomorrow. We will surrender again if I feel like it. No, if we see him outside and inside, he's in my heart, he's outside my heart, wherever I go, there's Nishikadev, then I can factually surrender to him. Then I could work for him. Because then I know what he wants me to do. But if I don't know who I am, if I know who I am, I'm the servant of Lord Nishikadev, then I should be inquiring all the time, what do you want me to do? Not that one day, one minute, I'm the servant of Lord Nishikadev, and then I give up my service to Lord Nishikadev because I found something better than Lord Nishikadev to serve. Therefore, here it's explaining that actually we're always depending upon Lord Krishna and he's in our heart. He can give us anything we want, remembrance or knowledge or forgetfulness. Now, someone's directing us. Who can deny the fact that someone's directing them? If we were independent in our direction, then why is it that we forget things? People can't remember where they put their keys. Now, they can't remember where they put their keys, therefore they're not in charge of remembrance. Maybe the only thing they can control in remembrance is their computer. That's if it doesn't run out of memory or doesn't crash. Because even computers crash and they get messed up. The program is messed up. So they like computers because it's better than their memory. They can't remember where they put their computer. Like nowadays, children go to school, they take a test, and they can bring their cell phone with them. So they can use the calculator. Previously, people actually knew how to add numbers together. But now that's a rarity. That's considered a mystic power. you can actually add two numbers together and you don't need a calculator. Similarly, we're taking the calculator as our supreme, but someone made the calculator, and the calculator doesn't always get it right. And similarly, our memory, we're not in charge of it. Sometimes we remember, sometimes we can't. It's being supplied to us. Just like intelligence, an ant, of which there's plenty nowadays, at least in my room, they know where the sugar is. Of course, we have a lot of stupid ants around here. We have the sweets, and they never go for the sweets. They go for the clothing. They seem to like clothing. I guess they're cold or something. They're all over my desk. I guess they need a job. But you can see, if there actually one was interested in the sweets, they could actually get the sweets quicker than we can. They're being supplied intelligence, more intelligence how to get sweets than we have. If someone was hiding the Maha sweets, we'd have to search for them. But they know exactly where they are because they're empowered. Krishna gives them the intelligence. So every living entity, whether it's an ant or a cells, we're all being supplied intelligence, just like the Father supplies intelligence to the Son. Direction, information, or the teacher supplies information to the student. So that all-pervading intelligence who's in everyone's heart, giving everyone remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. It's not that only I am receiving remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness, or everyone in this room is receiving knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness, but every living entity in every species of life is receiving remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So that all-pervading teacher, director, Anamanta and Upadrashta, he has to be Upadrashta, he has to be able to see, otherwise how could he tell us what to do? If he's blind, then he wouldn't be able to see what we need. And Anamanta, he's giving everyone direction, whatever that, but how is he giving direction? According to what we desire. If we desire to find out about him, then he'll give us intelligence, how to understand him. And if we say, well, you don't exist, there's no need for getting any intelligence about you, then Krishna will give us so much intelligence, we'll believe there is no person giving me remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. It's all me. I'm just creating the whole thing. I decide when to remember. I decide when to forget. I decide how to see things. So that's what we'll believe, that we're all independent and that there is no God controlling us, even within our heart, giving us remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. And he'll give us so much knowledge, we'll be able to try to convince others that there is no God, there's no director, that we're independent and supreme. And he'll allow us to for a devotee, he allows him to remember Krishna, and for the non-devotee, he allows them to remember everything but Krishna. They'll never remember Krishna. You give someone a book on the street, they become enlivened, this is great, great. And they go home, they'll immediately forget. They wonder, how did I get this book? Who gave it to me? And then they put it on the shelf. Because they can't remember exactly what this is all about. Somehow or another, I met someone, I think I gave him some money, I'm not so sure. I hope I didn't. Let me check my wallet. My God, what did I do? I go and give it back to him, but I can't remember where I got it. So if one doesn't want to remember Krishna, Krishna helps one forget. And if one wants to, a devotee, he helps them forget Maya. And for the non-devotee, he helps forget Krishna. He remembers Maya, and he can't remember Krishna. And for the devotee who's sincere, Krishna helps him forget Maya and remember Krishna. So that's up to us. What we want to do. If we want to remember Krishna, then open the book and read something. And then close the book and see how much forgetfulness Krishna is supplying you with now. And if you realize Krishna is supplying with forgetfulness, don't blame him. It's just that we never really wanted to remember him. So open the book again and try again. And eventually Krishna will see, actually this person seems like he wants to remember something, so I'll help him out, I'll give him some remembrance. He really wants it. He's sincere. So Krishna will reciprocate with us whatever we want. And we can feel, actually I want to remember. I feel like a desire to remember. And then Krishna will help us, desire. And we think, well, all right, I'll open the book, you know, I have nothing else to do. I don't really want to do it. It's probably boring and it's probably the same thing I read yesterday. Oh yeah, that's right. I'm not the body. Oh, I'm tired of this. Oh, Krishna is God? Wow, how unfortunate. What did he do to deserve that? So if that's our attitude, then Krishna will reciprocate. And if we really want to find out about Krishna, and we show we want to do it by doing the activities, by trying to worship Krishna, and there are 9 different kinds of worship by which we can focus our attention and try to give our love to Krishna, beginning with hearing and chanting and remembering. So if we show Krishna we're interested, then he'll reciprocate and he'll help us focus our attention, which means to remember. Remember with some concentration. And then actually give our wholehearted enthusiasm, love to Krishna. So that's even deeper concentration when we're actually giving ourselves to Krishna. But if we don't go through the steps, we don't try to concentrate our minds upon a particular type of worship of Krishna, whether it's hearing or chanting or remembering, then we'll never give our love to him either. Then we'll never actually become conscious of him and realize how we should reciprocate with him, appreciate him, and try to love him. At least have some gratitude that he's there giving me remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness, and I can get whatever I want. I can get many different things. And according to who I'm associating with, then I'll become inspired to get those things and Krishna will help me. We're like little children. Oh, Krishna, I want that candy. I want that. Oh, to their parents. The parents say, well, no, you'll get sick. No, no, I want. And okay, the parents say, if I don't give it to this kid, I'm going to get sick. So I better give it to him so he stops bothering me. So Krishna's like that. We want some forbidden candy which has some poison in it. Krishna says, no, no, no. And we keep on complaining and Krishna says, all right, I can't deny your desire. We'll try it out. Hey, this tastes great. Well, wait a second, I feel sick. Why didn't you tell me? I did. But you can't remember these things now. So the point is that we should try to understand how we're dependent on Krishna at every moment. Not that because I say you're dependent on Krishna, now you become dependent on Krishna. No, every living entity eternally is dependent upon Krishna. Now how to depend upon Krishna, how to get what Krishna says or explains to us is the best thing for us. We can only understand that when we understand who we are, that we're spiritual beings, that we're not this body. So Krishna will try to explain that to us first. And so when we understand that, who he is, who we are, then we can make decisions who to associate with, so we can practice devotional service and get Krishna's association, and in his association develop the proper activities, the proper understanding, ultimately the proper mood by association with his devotees and channel them. And when we channel them, we become Krishna conscious. And our activities on every level become Krishna conscious. So who to choose the right association and who to actually emulate in every respect. And in that way, we become in contact with Krishna through the transparent via media of the disciple succession by Krishna's mercy. He's offering it. Question is whether we want to take it or not. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes. My question is, where is the microphone? Surprise, someone asked a question. It's hidden. It's a hide and seek. Okay?
So Lord Krishna descends with his associates so they can facilitate the pastimes. Then we have Lord Chaitanya and even Prabhupada Lila. But my question is, what about us? Will we ever get past the beginning stages of devotional service in this life?
I don't know. Do you want to? Do you want to get through past the beginning stages? Are you willing to do what's necessary? Are you willing to find out what's necessary to do it? Are you yes. willing to apply it?
Yes.
Yeah, then you'll probably get by it if you do all those things. But it takes time and effort from the right source. Krishna says, Arjuna said that Asam Shyama Habaho Manodu Nirgraham Chalam Abhyasena Tukundiya Vairagya. Oh, actually, that's Krishna's reply. What is that? Asam Shyama Habaho Manodu Nirgraham Chalam Abhyasena Tukundiya Vairagya and Nigriyate. What was Arjuna's question? Yo yam 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 tanum bhakta shari archidim ichami tasya tasya cham charam tameva vititamiham. That's not it either. Arjuna Uvacha. Ayati sharayopeto yogatschati manasa prapyoga samsidim kamgetim krishna gachati. My dear Krishna, I'm trying to apply this process, but it seems a little difficult because the mind seems restless and unsteady. Chanchalam himana krishna pramati balavadridam tasyaham nigraham manye vayor eva sadiskram. For the mind is restless, turbulent, and very strong, O Arjuna. No, actually, Chanchalam himana krishna pramati. The mind is restless, turbulent, and very strong, and to subdue it, it seems to be more difficult than trying to control the wind. So Krishna doesn't say, no problem, you know, just chant a few rounds. It's like, you know, no cinch. I've been doing it eternally. You should have no problem. No, he says, Sri Bhagavan, Asam Shya Mahabaho, Mano Dirnagraham Chalam. It is undoubtedly difficult to curb the restless mind, Arjuna. He doesn't say it's just a cinch, you know, a couple of weeks practice, you should get it down. I did it in a week, see what you can do. So it was very difficult. But it's possible. Asam Shya Mahabaho, Mano Dirnagraham Chalam. Abhyasena tukuntiya vairagena tukriyate. But it's possible by suitable practice and by detachment. Willing to give up what we're attached to and willing to accept what we're not aware of. Willing to accept the process of Krishna consciousness. At the same time willing to give up our false ego, false prestige, false pride, false association. All the things that Krishna says in the 15th chapter. Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama dvanvai vimukha sukaduka sangara gachanya mudapadam aviyam tat. Those who are free from false prestige, false pride, false association, who are done with material lust, who understand the eternal, and who know how to surrender to the Supreme Person, they attain to the supreme goal. So we have a few things we have to work on. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You mentioned about roles and goals that we set according to our roles. And it seems extremely helpful to both determine roles and goals. But also I find that devotees, everybody, is most resistant to writing goals. Theoretically, they may even accept, yeah. But unless you have them writing them down in the class, it's very difficult to get people to write some goals or think about their roles. And they sometimes say that, why do we need to do it? I just surrender to Krishna, I'm Krishna's servant, I just do service. Why do I need any goals? So what would you...
Well, you have to have goals beyond wake up in the morning and waiting for prasadam to come. Wow, I've reached my goal. There's prasadam. And now at night, my goal is to take shelter in my bed and sleep deeply and dream about how to become God. Although I can't do it when I'm awake, at least when I'm asleep, no one can watch what I'm doing. So we have goals. Every day our goal is whatever it might be. If we don't define our goals, Maya will set our goals for us. Everyone is doing something for some purpose. They shrey us and they spray us. We don't have a long-term vision of what we're trying to accomplish in this lifetime. Then Maya will give us a vision. We might wind up as a dog or a hog in our next lifetime. If we act in such a way, we act like a dog, then we'll get our long-term vision. We'll get become a dog. So if we want to become a demigod, we can become a demigod. If we want to get a spiritual body and live eternally in Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan, we can do that too. So if we don't set the goals, then Maya will set them for us. Yes.
Another difficulty I have encountered, both personally and in some in lives of other people I've seen, is that they set goals, set plans, but then it becomes extremely stressful. Some people are perfectionists and they write down some complicated plans or ambitious plans, and then...
Unless you set your role properly, unless we can understand where Krishna is eternal servant and what our relation with Krishna is, what Krishna's relationship with everything is, unless that becomes clear, then we won't know what our goals are. So our first thing is to set the role before we set the goals. The role has to be clear. And when the role is clear, then automatically the goals will become clear. But because we don't really come to firmly, we don't know who we are, what our duties are, what our roles are, what we're supposed to be doing, therefore we don't know what really our goals are clearly, what they should be.
But if people set some goals in service, like finish printing this book by that time, or finish editing that book by this time, do so many hours of that service, and then they say it sometimes drives them crazy because they can't follow their plan, and then...
Well, what drives them crazy is not trying to follow the plan. It's trying to become detached from their material desires that are deviating them from the plan. Because they have so many things they want to do, and this plan is interfering with it. And they may feel the conscience, the super soul, is trying to inspire them to follow the plan, but they don't want to follow the plan because they have too many other things they want to do. So then they start blaming it on the plan. And then they can, because the plan is making them feel bad and something's wrong with the plan, therefore they can give it up with consciousness and not feel guilty that they did something wrong. And then they can do whatever they want to do. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, can a person in the mode of passion, tormented due to past sinful activities with all kind of passionate goals or desires, somehow combine this his activity, which he cannot avoid due to the mode, with understanding that the best way to proceed is to depend on Krishna's desire and on his...
That's called varnashram. Uh-huh. That we do some activity in relation to Krishna, but we're still under the modes of nature. No, of course, if you're in ignorance, how can you really understand? You know, really understand when you become Krishna conscious. But we can understand enough that we should take shelter of higher authorities. That much we should be able to understand. That I don't know everything. And according to what I do know, if I follow it, I'll get into trouble. So I should try to do something according to higher authority, and then I'll actually be benefited. But if we think we know everything, then we'll really be in trouble, especially when we don't know anything. Yes.
Another question came up in my mind. It seems that passion, I mean, nowadays passion is very much glorified as the driving force, and everybody is supposed to find passion, their passion, even though the word means suffering in Latin.
Well, that's, people are inspired by it.
But it does seem that if a person is passionate about something, he will be much more driven to actually do the work, whereas sattva seems to be much more peaceful and maybe not so driven.
Really?
At least from outside, superficially, it might look like that. It might seem that passion is more...
Well, you're thinking of ignorance then.
Pardon?
Instead of goodness, you're thinking of ignorance. You don't think Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers were driven?
They were it's transcendental.
Pure goodness.
Pure goodness.
So you jump from doing nothing in goodness to being driven in pure goodness. It's quite a jump. No, goodness, they know what to be done and what's not to be done. So they focus on what they're supposed to do. So their activities are focused. It may not be as dramatic as in the mode of passion, but it's focused on self-realization, which is the real activity of the self. So it's focused, that's all. They're fully engaged, but in finding the super soul. So that's real focus. Otherwise, you know, we're focused on the external material energy, and it appears a lot of things are going on, but it's just a dream. We're focused on the dream, and everyone's admiring our dream. But when it gets real in the mode of goodness, and he focuses on reality, then he's actually focused. He's actually doing something with focus. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Can an administrator, a leader, use different modes to inspire or motivate, let's say, devotees?
He could. It won't last very long as a leader, unless you want. One may, there's so many leaders have come and gone, and their contribution is zero. So unless one utilizes the spiritual energy, which comes in a variety of activities and different types of things, like Arjuna, he was fighting, but he was fighting on behalf of Krishna. He didn't adopt the mode of ignorance. He was always transcendental. But apparently he was killing people. Well, he was superficially killing people, but he was doing it under the spiritual energy. So whatever we should do in Krishna consciousness, not in material consciousness. Prabhupada would sometimes seemingly get angry, but without that energy and his anger was like Nrisingadev. You can't say Nrisingadev fell into the mode of ignorance. He got angry at Hiranyakashipu and he just lost it. Ripped the poor guy apart. Just didn't kill him, took out his intestines and used it as a garland. He really lost it. Now he's completely transcendental. So Prabhupada was transcendental also. He displayed the energy necessary according to his time, place, and audience. But it was spiritual energy. Because it was for Krishna. And Krishna was there. Was under the spiritual energy. Daivi Prakriti. Anything else? One more question.
Maharaj, Arjuna sometimes seemingly brags about his prowess. What is this? Where does this belong? In which category of
Arjuna is transcendental. You think I'm going to say he was a Maya?
No, but I mean he.
So how do we understand? You know, what is? I don't know specifically what he said, that, you know, he made vows and things like that about not putting down his Gandiva bow, or he came to that Brahmin and said that, you know, Krishna, Sankarshan, and Pradumya, they can't help you, but, you know, have you lost faith in all the Kshatriya kings, and therefore I'll protect you, because Lord Shiva gave me this weapon, the Pashupati weapon, and I'll protect you, don't worry. So the Brahmin said, you know, my God, his God is right here. You're saying you're better than God, you're better than Pradyumna, Aniruddha. You know, aren't you a little proud? He said, no, Shiva gave me these things. So the Brahmin said, all right, well, might as well give you a try. So what was that about? It's Krishna's pastime. Everything was, you know, everyone performed exactly according to schedule, then it would be pretty boring. So there's some variety. Arjuna is always Krishna's dear most friend because of that familiarity. He may have said that, but he was just, for one reason or another, he didn't want this Brahmin to lose faith in the Kshatriya kings, and obviously Krishna wasn't doing anything. So he said, well, let me give it a try. I don't think at that particular point he thought, well, you know, Krishna's pretty useless. But he always knows, he knows who Krishna is. He knows who Pradyumna is. He knows, but he, that was part of the pastime. Well, Arjuna knows how much he's empowered by Krishna. You know, a little kid comes down the street and Arjuna's unsure whether or not he should fight with, you know, he could win the battle with him. Of course he knows. He knows how much Krishna is empowering him. He doesn't think it's his power, but he knows how much Krishna is actually utilizing him. All right, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.